Testing.
There you go.
One, two. Okay. Good afternoon. How are we all doing? Good. Hey, I know it's toward the end of the day. Thanks for hanging in there. Well, as Tim mentioned, I was asked to come and talk a little bit about fatherlessness. And I did work before working in real estate development. I worked for about 14 years in a Christ-centered ministry called Family Guidance Incorporated. And we served children who might be considered at risk, and families as well. And we provided mentoring programs, one-on-one mentoring, after-school programs, an awesome residential summer camp program in a 112-acre, beautiful rolling hills, rustic, wooded area, all designed specifically to the unique needs of kids who were considered at risk. We would get referrals from parents. We would get referrals from schools. We get referrals sometimes from the courts. And there were kids who were maybe struggling in school, and they were afraid, unless someone intervenes, they might end up with academic failure, school dropout, or what have you. They felt they were at risk. They might refer kids who they saw them starting to get into trouble, hanging out maybe with wrong crowds. And they feared that unless someone intervenes, they may end up in trouble with the law. And a whole variety of other things that they felt they were at risk of. And so we found that, and I guess you can't really spend a lot of time in that field until you really realize some things. One of them is that the vast majority of kids seem to have something in common. We found that 95% of the kids who were referred to us had no dad in the home. And we found that a couple other things as well. First, that not only was it more likely they might act up or act out behaviorally, but also when you see what we would try to do is serve their needs, give them great experiences, meet their needs, but also look for an opportunity that as we would work with them, we try to form a relationship and earn the right to speak into their lives, and when the opportunity presented itself, share the gospel message with them. Most of these kids were unchurched. Most of these kids didn't really have a history with the church. And what we found was kind of interesting, as we would share the gospel, that often, not always, but often, it seemed like there were more obstacles to them grasping the gospel message. There seemed to be some gaps, made it a little more difficult to reach them. For example, just from their experiences, understanding God as God the Father was sometimes a point of pain. Understanding that and accepting that God would never leave them nor forsake them just kind of was harder for them to accept that. Often. Sometimes the idea of believing promises when promises have been broken time and again was harder. Trust, huge issue. And we were asking them to trust a God they couldn't see with their lives. And it was a little harder. We found there were just a number of gaps spiritually, as far as their spiritual development and reaching the kids. And so what we tried to do is become really very intentional about trying to fill in those gaps to help them be able to really grasp the gospel and make an informed decision regarding the claims of Christ and the relevance of the gospel message to themselves, to their lives. And so we did various things. For example, at the camp, we had a trust fall. And so we'd give them an experience where trust actually worked out pretty well. we'd have them, wrap their hands, fold them up like this, stay totally stiff, and fall backwards, stiff as a board, off a platform, off a tree, and get caught. And we could explain to them that, you see, we made sure you were safe. We made sure they were safe. We didn't lose any kids. And we would give them the experience that maybe it was lacking, and then be able to talk with them and say, in the entire history of the world, God has never dropped anyone who's put their complete faith and trust in Him. We designed a 28-element ropes course, all low ropes course for various reasons, but one of them is it's not distant. You're not way up there and a harness is holding you. We're here guiding you every step of the way. You got this. You can do it through challenges. And we gave them an experience. One whole section was a seven-element section we called the Roman Empire, just one section of the ropes course because it was designed after the road to salvation in Romans. We tried to walk them through, and each element was a section of the gospel message that unbeknownst to them. They didn't know what they're going through. We'd videotape them, then show them the video in club, and then explain, that's what we're talking about, to try intentionally to fill in the missing gaps. Well, I want to just say, we experienced in our experience, not only was there some acting up, but there were also some gaps in trying to share the gospel with many of the fatherless kids we were trying to reach. And I want to stop right there and say nothing that I'm saying here is in any way intended to put down single-parent families or to make someone who might find themselves in a situation where they are growing up in a fatherless situation or, to even point fingers at the dads in the situation, find themselves in that situation. That's not my intent at all to make anyone feel badly or place blame or to put anyone down. My goal is simply to point to this, and I'm going to share some things, to help us realize the vastness of the impact of fatherlessness and then look at God's plan and see how we can be a part of that. Now, if I could, I'd like to share some statistics. And the reason being, I find that in the media today, and really in our culture in general, there's a subtle message that just seems to be there. It's so pervasive, it's almost invisible, that family's not really that important. Marriage isn't that important. Fathers aren't really that important, maybe not even necessary. And even that men aren't important. Don't you believe it? The messages that are there in the media and in the culture have been kind of planted there by some individuals kind of pushing that idea. And even they now, after a few decades of really pushing this idea, the vast majority of individuals who've been trying to start that message and push that ideology have now had to come back because of the avalanche of data that says, that's not true. It's just not. And they've had to come back and say, we were wrong. And I only have in these few minutes here a chance to share a few drops with you of the tidal wave of research data and evidence of how important fathers, father figures, and positive male role models are in the lives of the next generation. And if I could, I'll just share a little bit of it. This is a tidbit. Fatherless children are 540% more likely to live in poverty than children with a two-parent home. Just the fact that a child grew up without a dad in the home makes it doubles the chance they will drop out of school. Doubles. Fatherless children are 120% more likely to be abused. Notice this. The father out of the home, they're more likely to be abused, not less. And teenage girls are 700% more likely to become pregnant as teens when they're from fatherless homes. And just that group, fatherless children, just that group makes up 73% of teen suicides. 85% of all children with severe behavioral problems are from fatherless homes. 85% of youth in prison are from fatherless homes. And this church has an amazing ministry to the homeless in the north side of Pittsburgh. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. And what about when they grow up? We've now seen this experiment of saying fathers aren't important, men aren't important for quite some time, and now we can see the data and the long-term impact. When children from fatherless homes grow up, what's the ultimate impact? They are at increased rate, fatherlessness is linked to increased rates of depression as adults, increased rates of divorce, increased rates of substance abuse, alcohol, and drugs, decreased average income, decreased overall health, and decreased life expectancy. Are fathers, father figures, and positive male role models important? You better believe it. But how widespread is this issue? Back in 1960, what was the percentage of kids who grew up in a home with just a mom? 8%, which is significant. But today, that number is approximately 25%. One quarter of American children are growing up without a dad in the home. And the statistics for Pennsylvania, and even in the community, the larger community and region here, are not that different than the national average. It's significant. So let me tell you a story that kind of illustrates some things. A number of years ago, at Kruger National Park and Game Reserve in South Africa, they were working with African elephants and who were endangered. But there they had grown to such a wide population in the game reserve. They had outgrown their capacity to serve them. So they had a brilliant idea. Let's take some of them and move them to another game reserve. So they moved some of them to Pilanesberg National Park, which is a little bit north of Johannesburg in South Africa. And they designed a harness, and they were going to transport them by helicopter. Only the harnesses weren't big enough for the big male, full-grown, adult African elephant bulls. So they took some juvenile elephants and some of the adult female elephants and transported them to Pilanesberg. Well, a short time later, they developed a problem. They started seeing rhinoceros after rhinoceros dead across the game reserve. And they're also endangered. So they set up secret cameras throughout the game reserve. What they found was shocking. The culprits were the marauding bands of juvenile elephants. It's extremely rare behavior among elephants. But they were rhinos were not killed by poachers. There were no gunshot wounds. They appeared to have died a violent death, gored to death. And they found out that these elephants, the very ones that they had transferred from Kruger, were the culprits on a wild rampage. In fact, they were terrorizing most of the animals throughout the reserve. And they realized what's missing is the adult male elephants. So they redesigned the harnesses. And they went and took some of the other adult bull elephants from Kruger, transferred them over, and in short time, all of that behavior disappeared. The adult bull elephants would give them a look, step over, and show them, that's not how we behave as elephants. That's not very elephant-like. And they stopped. They started quickly following around the dominant adult male bull elephants as they showed them how to be an elephant. Is the absence of fathers in the home a significant issue? Many argue it is the leading significant issue of our day. So let's look at the other side of this. If the impact of an absence of a positive male role model has that kind of impact, could the presence of a positive male role model do the opposite? Of course. And why are these statistics so striking? Shocking, even. Because, as I see it, because we've stepped out of God's plan. You see, God calls himself Father because he wants us to be a representation on earth to fill in the gaps in understanding the gospel. He wants us to be a representation of his Father's heart, his desire to protect us, to provide for us, to guide us, to give us wisdom, to instruct us in righteousness, to build us up, to develop a close relationship, to strengthen us. And God has uniquely designed us to do that. I don't want to take anything away from the role of moms. That's undeniable. But there is something unique about the role of fathers in their children's lives and men in children's lives in general. In Psalms 68:5, and you're probably familiar with this, in the interest of time, I'll just read these, but Psalm 68:5 says, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of the widow, is God in his holy habitation." God is a father to the fatherless. God is. And a defender of the widow. It's part of his heart. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, he says this, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." His plan is to bring us into his family. And in James 1:27, he says this, "Pure and undefiled religion before God." How many of you want to have a pure and undefiled walk and a pure and undefiled faith? I love this verse. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Guys, the single parent family is the modern orphans and fatherless. And in Deuteronomy 24:20, now a little background on this. When they would harvest the olives, they would take a big stick and they would just thump it against the trunk of the tree. And the ripe olives would fall out, but not all of them. And so he says, "When you beat the olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the orphan." God's heart is to, yes, provide for your own family, but also leave room to provide for those who don't have a dad. Right? We are his body. And so when God says, "I am the father to the fatherless," yeah, I believe God can divinely just directly minister to and love and encourage and support and provide for those who find themselves in these situations. But I think also he wants us as his body to reach out and serve the least of these, those who are struggling, who are lacking a father in the picture. So it's interesting, just as another statistic, on the positive side. And again, I don't want not to take anything away from moms, but statistically, when a mom is the first person in the family to accept Christ, what's the likelihood the entire family is going to accept Christ? 17%, which is good. But when the dad is the first one to accept Christ in the family, what's the likelihood that the entire family will find Christ? 93%. There's something about us stepping into our role as a spiritual leader, something about leading the way in loving God, loving our wives, loving our kids, and then sharing the love of Christ with those who need it. There's something about that. We're equipped, we're called to that. And I'll just leave you with some positive suggestions from that. We all want to help. What can we do? Well, if God lays it on your heart to reach out to the fatherless and the widow, the single-parent family, there are a couple things. First of all, and it's kind of obvious, but pray for them. Pray that God would reveal his loving, fatherly heart to these kids. And God may lay on your heart a child you want to reach out to do something for them. And pray for Pray for the single moms. They've got a lot on their shoulders. They're heroes. I don't know how they do it. It's hard enough with two of us. It's difficult. Sometimes just giving them a break, taking the kids and playing catch with them or what have you, both ministers to the kids and gives the mom a little respite. But pray for them and see what God leads you to do. The next thing is begin with small gestures. I mean, you can greet a kid when you're coming into church. You can give them a high five and a big smile on the way out. You can just say, hey, how you doing? Or share a scriptural insight or what have you that the Lord's laid on your heart. You can do that with your own kids. Awesome. Can you do that with some other kids who might be lacking a dad? Yeah, we can do that. And just kind of invite them into the mix. Hey, look, you won't ever believe this awesome thing that the Lord showed me this week. Share it with your kids. Share it with a fatherless kid. You want to do more. You want to do more than a smile and a high five and a word of encouragement. You want to do a little more. My suggestion is ask the mom, because the mom has been taking on the full responsibility, the full weight, the full burden, all that on her shoulders. It's vitally important that we respect the authority. That's the only parent that these kids have in that home. We need to respect her authority and ask, what can we do to bless you and bless your kids? And she may, likely she'll be open to the help and support, but she may have some unique things to say that, well, you know, but really what we need is. And it can be helpful to just say, hey, you know, I was wondering if I could, you know, come over once in a while. We could play catch in the yard, something like that. Hey, I was going to go to the park with my kids anyway. Can, you know, we can get together and, you know, and throw a ball. Maybe to teach a kid a sport, maybe that kind of thing. Maybe just be a role model. Just make yourself accessible. Be the elephant in the same game reserve. You know what I mean? Just be accessible. There's no overestimating the value of just making yourself available as a positive, godly man. And consider ways in which you're gifted. Each of us might be gifted in different ways. Some of you might be awesome in auto repair. For others, that might not be your thing. If you said, hey, you know what? I can help out with it. If you ever have car trouble, I'd be glad to help you out. That's a suggestion because it's something that's very practical and helpful for the family. But also, you could say, hey, do your kids want to know how to change the oil? Right? And invite them into the mix. Now you're it's a twofer. You know what I mean? You're helping the mom. You're helping the kids. It's just an opportunity to be there. But that kind of thing. But consider, in what way has God gifted you? And pray about how you could be a blessing to them. Now, as a church, we may or may not be led to do something more formal. There are plenty of opportunities. If we wanted to explore at some point, and this is a conversation for another time, but a developing an after-school program or developing a mentoring program or something like that's very real, very good. There are a lot of best practice ways in which we can do that very effectively, and that's also an option. But each of us can pray, and each of us can be there in the way that God's leading us, where he's gifted us to be there for fatherless and orphan kids and their families. So that's what I wanted to share, and I thank you so much. God has uniquely gifted you and uniquely called you, and I want you all to know that despite the messages that are subtly there in the culture, you are very, very important in God's design, in God's plan, and thank you so much.